Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. I've got two great folks today, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. John Townsend, and your phone calls here today on New Life Live.
I really appreciate your show. It's been a big blessing to me.
I have two teenage boys. Maybe for a couple weeks it'll be okay, and then all of a sudden we slip up again.
Whoa. Can you translate what all of a sudden means?
After I sobered up, I wasn't numb enough to drown out what was aggravating me with my mother.
Okay. That's well put, by the way.
In my heart, I don't think that it's important enough to tell her.
Well, if it's not important enough to tell her, are you sure it was important enough to divorce?
You know, sometimes we only think there's two options.
Is that because you were clueless in that time?
You know, that is a very good possibility.
This is one of the prices of boundaries.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me today in the studio is Dr. John Townsend. Hey, John.
Hey, Steve.
And Dr. Dave Stoop.
How are you?
And we're glad you're with us here today, and if you'd like to join us on the program, it's a very simple number, 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000. Now, for our radio listeners, we're live today, and we're just coming off of Mother's Day, and did you guys have a good Mother's Day?
Yes.
Wore me out, but it was fun.
Wore you out?
Yeah, you got to do everything so that the mother can just kind of do nothing. See?
Yeah.
Dave, just across the fruited plain right now, people are going to be calling in saying, oh, wore you out, instead of what a joy to serve.
Yeah.
Finally, my opportunity to give back after all those years.
Well, that was my attitude yesterday, okay. You know, but I'm feeling the consequences today.
Yeah, kind of creaky.
Well, it was a great day for us. We had Amelia's birthday and Mother's Day on the same day, and it was just a really fun day. And I just hope that if you went through that and you wanted to be a mother and you're not, that you maybe infertility or you're still single or maybe you don't have a very decent mother to honor or maybe you've lost a child, that if you need to talk to somebody, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to help you with that because we know Mother's Day isn't all that fun for everybody.
Some people, yeah.
You know what else is there? We have lots of times more than one mother.
Yeah.
Because you might have someone who was really good at structure and discipline but maybe had a hard time connecting or maybe they're really controlling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Bible says, you know, God put the lonely in homes.
Yeah.
So we've got to find another mother to give us the warmth we need,
right.
That sort of thing. So.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a, you know, let's do a multiple Mother's Day honoring for all those people who built into us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I bet it was an interesting time for all of the mothers who had lost a child at 9/11.
Oh.
I bet that was an interesting Mother's Day with the news of Osama bin Laden. We've still got people asking, is that a good thing or not? But
I don't even know why anybody would ask such a question. It's like one less Hitler.
Yeah. Well, the analogy I have is, you know, if you were in a war and the general was out front, you would try to shoot the general.
Yeah, we are
in a war. And we are in a war.
And we got the general.
He is out front, and, mm-hmm. and so he just happened to be watching television.
Doesn't
at home.
Mean the war is over. It just means that
we got
one guy.
I had a guy call me who said, "How am I supposed to feel?" I said, why? He said, because I came home happy. My wife said, well, the Bible says don't rejoice in the death of the wicked. And I said, well, you're supposed to feel two things. And you have room in your head to feel two things.
Yeah.
One is you don't feel happy that a wicked man died because, you know, who knows about his soul and all that sort of thing. So you feel compassion for that. But at the same time, in the same brain, you feel happy that we've moved closer to justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you're happy, you celebrate the justice part. You don't celebrate the death of the wicked part.
Yeah. In Newsweek, there's a story of a boy. He was 10 when his father died on the 103rd floor of the first tower. And he said, you know, it's hard for me to know how to feel, but I do. He said, I don't know about closure. I don't know about all these things, but I do know this. It feels like something has lifted.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe
there's some justice.
That's enough. All right. Well, we're glad you're with us. 1-800-229-3000. When we come back, we'll go right to our phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. And we have a gift for you if you support the ministry. And we're about $40,000 behind. It's Journey to Grace. We'll be back.
my clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Well, we are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop. John's got a wonderful book, Leadership Beyond Reason. You're working, or is it out, Beyond mm-hmm. Boundaries? Is it out?
Beyond Boundaries comes out in October.
October, all mm-hmm. right. Hmm. And
you picked up the two beyonds there, Steve.
Yeah.
Most people don't do that.
And John's kind of beyond the rest of us, right?
You go somewhere. I'm just waiting for this.
And Dave, your latest book would be?
Well, we revised the Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves.
Okay, so got that.
And then I've got one coming out in September called People of the Bible Uncensored.
Yeah, okay. And then.
I want to read that.
Dave and I are working on the Life Recovery Big Book. And like the AA Big Book, it has stories in it. So if you have a story of recovery that you'd like to share, you may end up in the Life Recovery Big Book. And all you have to do is email me at sarterburn@newlife.com. That's my email address.
And it should be a couple pages long.
Yeah, we're going to look
we'll
at
edit it. Don't worry about it.
What if your issue was that you have craving attention needs? And so now the motivation is to get in your guy's book.
you would be like everybody else.
But then that might help them because they'll read the book.
It might cure them.
But quite simply, it's sarterburn@newlife.com. If you have a two-page story you'd like to share with us where
three or four
you
pages.
Were one way and you did something and now you're a different way. That's what we want to talk about. All right, let's go to our phones and let's talk with Paul from Orlando, Florida. Hi, Paul. Welcome to New Life.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome.
I love you guys. I've read Boundaries and Forgiving the Unforgivable, and I wanted to first give you a kind of a praise report. I called a couple of years ago. You get a lot of calls, so I don't expect that you'll remember, but our daughter was dating a loser. The whole family knew it. I happened to I'll give you the short story long. I went over to their house one time. I had to talk with him, you know, to treat her as a family treasure, which she is, and found her over at his house one time. I knocked on the door and basically pushed him up against the wall, drug her out of there, and brought her home. And I had called you guys about that because I felt really guilty. The kid's 18 years old, which is legal age here and all that. But I felt really guilty that I went so far. And you guys really encouraged me that it was good for her to see that I was willing to fight for her. Now, a couple years later, she's graduated from college. She's a first-grade elementary school teacher. We found out just a little while ago she's expecting twins in September, our first grandbabies, and we are just so thankful how the Lord's turned her around and changed her life. But thank you for good counsel.
So I'm assuming in there was a marriage somewhere.
There was.
Yeah.
Good guess. I forgot to leave out an important part. And it's not to this clown that she was dating.
That's good.
Wised up and married an extremely great guy who we love very much. And
I don't think we should put down clowns, you know, and equate them with that loser boyfriend she had.
But there's no natural clowns.
Yeah,
I'm cleaning up the adjectives. I could use a lot worse.
Yeah, I bet. Well,
we're really, really grateful.
What's going on today?
Gave good counsel.
Thank you very much. What's happening now?
Well, we have a son who is 22, been a great kid. Actually, of our three children, has been certainly the easiest to raise. And just recently, I was going to say in the last year and a half, he's been going to college. He lives on campus. He's 22. I said, bright kid. He got a full ride because of his SAT scores. Hmm. The Lord's really given him a lot of gifts.
And wow.
It's just sorrowful when somebody's been given a lot of gifts and they don't do a lot with it. He started out fairly well, then had some difficulty with some grades. We told him we had to move him back home if he wasn't going to keep his grades up the next semester. He didn't. So we cut him off. He moved back home, stayed for a semester. Well, just recently.
Did the scholarship go away?
Yes, he lost it. Mm. You know, over time. First it went to 75, then to 50, and then he lost it because he couldn't keep a 3.0. Mm. And he's in a medical program. He wants to go into medicine, and we just see that he's kind of blowing that, which we don't care what he does for an occupation. Just do the best, whatever. But
so what does he say is the reason that his grades fell?
Well, that's what I'm calling. He says, I don't know. Well, we have evidence because his sister, who's married and doing well now, is a friend of him on Facebook and sees pictures of him drinking and all of this. And mm-hmm. I've confronted him on it, and he denies it. And it's like, look, it's out there. You're basically bragging on it. And yeah. We just found out his grades over the weekend. This last semester, he had two Fs, and he withdrew a class without telling us. Mm. And on Mother's Day, we just had a family picnic and basically told him privately that we were going to, withdraw
okay.
all the support we were giving him.
All right. What's our question then?
Is that too harsh? Are we handling that right? We're going to stay connected to him. We don't want to push him away. We told him we love him and don't understand why he's making such bad decisions, but he is. So we just
which move are you questioning is too harsh, Paul? Which decision?
I think cutting him off totally. He just recently got a job. He hadn't been working, complaining that this, molecular biology and organic chemistry and all these other classes are so difficult that he can't work while we're doing it. And we ate that up and believed all of it. And then about 30 days ago, we said, look, you got to get a job. Your grades aren't doing that great anyway from the last semester. So start working. It'll help you have some accountability and develop your maturity and all of that.
How did he react when you did that, Paul?
At first, he was pretty mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then he agreed and said it probably was a good thing. And even this cutting off, he said, it's probably the best thing for me. It'll help me grow up and it'll teach me some things. And we're telling him he's not really the kind of kid to have to learn by bad experience. There's other ways to learn. His brother was. He had to try it and suffer the consequences.
Is he? And he's not living at home?
He is not.
And so, but he's gone from the school that he got the full ride at.
No, he's still there. We're just paying for it.
Okay.
So is he coming home for the summer then?
No, he rents a house with some other friends with, three other young men.
So we're cutting him off means from room, board, tuition, everything, or just room, board, and you're paying the freight from the tuition?
Everything.
Okay, so now he's on his own. And he's looking for a job, and he's not sure he can go to school and do the job thing at the same time.
He found a little part-time job, but yes.
Okay.
He said he's going to take a semester or two off.
Oh.
Did you,
for a little while.
Okay. Did you ever say to him, if you make two Fs and drop out, we're not going to support you anymore?
No.
Well,
he
I think...
tell him... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I would vote for trying to sit down with him and having a plan that says, okay, look, we didn't talk about what was going to happen here, and now here's what needs to happen if you want us to continue to support you beyond the summer or
right,
something like
right.
that.
Right, right. What Steve's talking about, Paul, is a process,
yeah.
And it sounds like you got bugged, and remember the call 2 years ago, and then, your homework assignment from somebody on our show after that call was like you impulsively ran to that guy who was not treating your daughter right and ran him against the wall. So I think you're sort of one of those kind of like ignore and zap guys. You ignore bad behavior and then you zap really quick. You follow me?
Yeah.
Okay.
It could be.
Okay. Well, it sounds a little bit abrupt to me too. And when people repent and change their ways, there's this initial decision like, lights are coming on, I'm out of denial, but I need a kind of a process to turn my ship around, and I don't hear that in your what you're doing with your son. And I would say that the plan has to be at a certain grade point average, you start to get things back. And I would kind of recalibrate that, because otherwise there's always the you know, wake up factor, and then there's the discouragement factor. And as a parent, we've all got to go between our kid's denial and our kid's legitimate discouragement. I'd put something together that had transition points in it, so he could start to see, if the grades come up, mom and dad put this much money back with me, so he's got some kind of incentive.
And don't forget, a lot of students that didn't get a full ride because they're so brilliant that they had these brilliant SAT scores, they don't make any F's. So I would not want to support him next fall and spring, right, when he's not going to college and you're just supporting him out there and he's got his part-time job. I would, right, say, okay, I'll support you through the summer. You're going to get back in school. You're going to make these grades. Then, well, if you don't, I think we're done.
I've got a different opinion in that.
Anyway, we've got to go to break now.
What do you think, Dave?
I think his taking a year off might not be a bad idea, because it sounds like he's overwhelmed by the academics, and then what he does is he just cops out, and you know, he's probably drinking a lot and partying a lot because he's living with these guys. I would say, come on home for a year and get a job, save some money, and grow up, because he already said to you, you know, I think I need to grow up. That, to me, that's a key thing.
Yeah.
But I think I agree to complete with both of you in that it needs to be a process, Paul, not something that, yeah, you just arbitrarily do. And you discuss with him and come up with a plan, because that's treating him like an adult, and he needs to be treated like an adult and held responsible.
You know, a lot of really great students in high school, they don't learn good study habits because they don't have to try very hard. They're so brilliant.
Well, that's exactly what his case was. And he never really had to do a lot of homework.
Yeah, now there's some demands on him.
So now he's getting pre-med has a lot of demands.
So at 22, he's got to grow up and learn what a lot of other people did at 13 and 14, and that's how to study something and learn something you don't really understand. Right?
My youngest son, I said, I'll pay 4 years, you know, and I made a calendar. And he took a semester off, and then the last semester he was taking 22 units to make sure he got it out.
Because you made it four consecutive years.
Four consecutive years.
Not 4 years in the next 20
yeah,
years.
Yeah. Yeah. Then he became a waiter, you know, and I thought, you know, I put you through college to be a waiter, and he's a waiter for 2 years. And that was his growing up time, kind of. He didn't do it before he went to school. And he probably would have done better if he had taken a year off before he went. So I think sometimes it's good to take that off. Then he went to law school.
Okay, so to make sure I'm understanding, you think I should my wife and I should continue to support him, but with a plan that he goes back in the fall, we establish what we think a reasonable GPA is that's attainable for him.
That's one option, Paul. And my option is give him a year off and make him work. Let him live at home, pay a little bit of rent or contribute to it, but make, you know, that's the other option. So maybe what you do is you sit down with him and you talk about it, and you say, what do you think? Which do you want to do, you know?
And the idea is, here's how much we have and we'll put up with and we'll spend. So you're not going over your resources, and then he's got some wiggle room. And I wrote a book called Now What Do I Do, which is a strategizing book. And you got some strategy to talk to him about: planning, logistics, money, time, responsibility. We'll send that to you.
I wrote a book, Toxic Faith. It doesn't have anything to do with this, but I did just want to mention it. Now, because you're the kind of caller that could handle that kind of humor. All right, now.
But what about us? I mean,
here's
I'm
the
not
thing.
Sure we can't.
Here's the thing. Develop your plan. Either way you go, either of those would probably work.
Develop and, with him.
Yeah, with him. And then say, and on the first of every month, we're gonna talk about this. We're not going to neglect. We're going to talk about progress and how it's going and how you're feeling about this and how you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that way you won't end up, you know, 120 days later having the next conversation, and
right,
it's not good. All right?
That's a great idea.
Well,
that's
I'm glad.
Guys, we love you guys. We really appreciate
you. Hey, thanks for being an involved father, Paul. We need more of you guys out there, buddy.
Thank you for calling us. You know, Madeline, my daughter, she just finished her sophomore year, and she didn't make SAT scores that would get her a scholarship. And she wants to be a physical therapist, so she had to take physiology, just like, you know, pre-med students have to take physiology. She made a B in physiology because she studied and studied and studied and memorized and memorized, and just very, very proud of her. And
Let me return to Dave's point, though. Parents, I mean, I got two in college right now, so we're studying this intensely. You don't say, we'll give you 4 years. You pick the semesters, you have to say four consecutive years.
Yeah, four consecutive.
Otherwise, they say, well, okay, I'll say New Zealand for a semester. Okay, then I'll come back. Yeah. But you've got to say the money's there for those 4 years, and mm-hmm. because it builds structure. The kids need structure.
Yeah. Okay.
And he bought it, the structure, because he made it.
Absolutely. 22 units that last semester. That's a Hail Mary pass there.
You know what? Yeah. You got to be really clear that the goodies, the benefits of being in our family, that whatever we have is yours, as long as you're following the rules and you're not
posting
drunk pictures on Facebook because you're drunk all the time.
Love is free and your auto insurance is earned.
There you are. I like that. Now there's a book title. All right. Let's go to our break, and when we come back, well, we'll go right back to the phones. You're listening to New Life Live. I said this before the last break. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to the website. Support us. We're about $40,000 behind this month, and we don't want to end up having to be desperate at the end of the month. So come help us. Join Club New Life. There are a lot of benefits there. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Let's go to station WOLC, Salisbury, Maryland. Let's talk with Pam. Hello, Pam. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm okay.
What happened?
I ended my Mother's Day with a very emotional situation.
Okay.
I have a question. Am I taking my emotions out too far with my husband for something that occurred? And the situation is that I found a picture of a woman on his cell phone. And I asked him about it, and he was upset because I snooped.
Uh-huh.
Not a good sign.
Now, this woman, I assume she was dressed, ready to go to Sunday school. Is that right?
Yeah, right. She was in a bikini.
Uh-huh. Oh. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Now, let me ask you this. You have a right to react just about anyway. What was your reaction that you think was over the line?
Or that he thought was over the line?
I confronted him, and he just went right into your snoop, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said I wasn't. I was really, it's one of those smartphones. I was really just looking at the family pictures. But
you didn't have to respond to that, you know.
Pam,
I kicked myself for responding.
No, don't kick yourself.
No, Pam, the test of a especially a husband, is when someone finds that the first response is remorse and feeling repentance. I'm so sorry, let's talk. If you're more angry about the snoop than you are about the acting out, that's not a good sign.
It tells you more than the picture tells you.
That sign tells you more than the picture tells you.
You see what we're saying? See, if he had collapsed in a heap over you seeing that picture because he realized how much he had hurt you, well, the picture would have meant one thing. Now the picture means something totally different because of his response.
His response tells you that that picture had meaning to him. And as far as you can take that meaning, it's legitimate. So don't get on your own case, Pam, about this.
I have a little more into it. He did, like, after the initial, argument of me finding this, he came back. He made some silly comments, just really ignorant, I think. But he came back with the idea of, he did say, "You're right, it's absolutely wrong. I should not have saved that on my phone." And it wasn't until the next evening that we spoke. And
that's not a really good answer either, Pam. I shouldn't have saved it on my phone. How about I shouldn't have taken it? How about I shouldn't have been in a position where a coworker's in a bikini, unless we were all on a corporate fishing trip that you were there on?
Yeah, he said it was he got it texted to him from another coworker. I said, "What for?" And the whole situation was, the next day I found out, this is what he said, was that the girl had lost a lot of weight, was sending it to this other girl, could not see it on her phone, and texted it to me. I saved it, didn't think about it.
Okay. Is your husband's character that what you haven't seen any kind of, like, sexualizing or sexual acting out otherwise, or have there been other issues? Because history is a big part of this.
Yeah. Years ago, yes. We had worked through situations years ago. I mean, we've been married for over 22 years, and about 7 years into marriage was a situation. And so that's where my red flags come up. However, I listen to your show all the time, and I feel, as a couple, we have conquered these issues, and many of the things that you have said are things that I have verbatim.
If I were you, I would talk with the woman on the picture, and I would say, "Wow, your body showed up on my husband's cell phone, and I just need to know what that relationship's all about." And when she says, "I never texted it to him, I texted it to Lucy, and Lucy's the one that texted it to him, but I don't even talk with him hardly ever," well, that's one thing. But when you get anger, resentment, bitterness from her, then you know that it's something else. But I think you have a right to talk with her and ask her about what is her relationship like with your husband.
Because I don't think you ever conquer this completely.
I agree.
Because Satan's always active and loves to kind of set us up with seduction and those kind of things. So, and see, I'm still going back to his reaction about snooping. Why is that? That's another thing that I think you ought to talk to him about. Why is that an issue to you that you would call me snooping? I thought in our relationship that there was nothing that, the other person couldn't access because there was nothing to hide. That would be another conversation that I think you've got to have with him, because
when I calmed down, I did say that to him.
Okay.
All right.
But I didn't really get a response.
I got to tell you, it's just a great reminder for everybody that if you're married, both people need the passwords. Both people need the access to everything. Last night I couldn't find my phone. My wife was downloading the pictures that I'd taken of Mother's Day and all that on her computer. She had taken it. That didn't cause me any anxiety or anything, because there's nothing on there except them.
Well, we've got
That was my suggestion to Pam, was I was thinking about that. Why don't you just say, "Look, do you mind, because I'm scared now. We had a bad time years ago, but for like the next 90 days, random phone testing, just to make me feel better, not on a parent level, but
why
I'm just
90
scared.
Days? Why don't you just make it, whatever
forever.
We got.
Forever.
I mean, there you go.
We got two computers at home and one account, so anything that's on mine is on hers.
Forever.
That's even better.
Forever. Because really, that's kind of...
But just make that normal in the marriage. Yeah.
We'll take a break and come right back with your calls.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Glad you're with us here today, and I've got an engaged couple that's coming to our marriage weekend here next weekend in Washington, D.C., and I need some more engaged couples that want to know how to relate to each other.
This weekend.
This very weekend, coming up here, and I'm going to be there. Dr. Dave Stoop and Jan's going to be there.
Yeah, and Nylan and Kay.
Nylan and Kay.
And you know what? It would be probably the most powerful premarital counseling
could
ever get anywhere
in
the world.
No way. You could find anything better, and if you can, we'll refund your money. So we want you to come to the weekend in D.C. if you're engaged, so we can have a group of engaged people. So you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. If you're married, this is for you. If you're engaged, if you're a couple, you come, and it'll be an amazing experience for you. Dr. John Townsend, Mylon Yurkovich, Sherry Denham, and all of us are going to Israel, and I want to show you a video real quick. Let's show you the video of the Dead Sea.
You can't really show them on the radio.
Well, can't show it on the radio, but let's listen to this. Thank you.
But that's for TV people.
Yeah. So here we are at the Dead Sea, not the Red Sea, but the Dead Sea, and that's where we're going on this trip, one of the places. Listen to this or watch it.
We're here at the Dead Sea, and all my life I've heard how dead it was. And I think I've heard every devotional possible on that Dead Sea and no water going out and coming in and all of that. I've also heard how fun that it is. Is it fun, Joe? Joe Franklin says it's fun. But what I never counted on, what I never thought, was how beautiful it is. This is one beautiful sea. I hope you'll come see it. June 2011. Come experience New Life in the Holy Land.
All right, we've got a couple of places left, so come join us. It's going to be one amazing trip. We've got about 142 people going, and the Steve Curtis Chapman concert's going to take place, and they're going to be on the bus. And
he's going to be there the whole week, huh?
He will be there the whole time.
10 days.
Yes, so come and join us, please. Let's go to Renee from Victorville, California. NRB Network is where she watches the program. Hello, Renee.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, what's going on?
Okay, my issue is I've been away from my child since she was 5 years old. I came back into her life when she was 14. I had an addiction to alcohol and drugs my whole life. I was molested when I was a teenager, and from the time I was 9 years old until my teens. So that led me to a life of alcohol and drugs.
Okay.
And it caused me to abandon my child. And I came around 3 years ago, and I got clean and sober. I gave my life to Christ, and I stood up at church one day, and I asked Jesus to please restore that relationship with my daughter.
Mm.
2 weeks later, my daughter came to live with me.
Wow.
Mm.
And these 3 years, it's been really hard because she holds a lot of anger and resentment.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get her to go with me to counseling, which she refuses. And we get to the point sometimes where she says, "You were never in my life, and how could you tell me what to do now?" Hmm. Which I understand her anger. And she's chose to left. She left the home last week, and she wants to go back down with her grandmother, and she's refusing to come home. And it's really hard on me, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what I should do. Should I go and get her? I know she holds a lot of anger, and I'm just beside myself, and I'm very sad, and I just want to know what point I'm at. What should I do since I've never been in her life? I can't force her to be here.
Okay. Well, let's...
Renee, I think what I would do in that situation is to let her go back to her grandmother and begin to have weekends with her, times when you do some fun things together. Sometimes when you go down to the grandmother's and are just the three of you together, it's not something that you can just toss her into because of the emotion. And then at 14, you can get her to go to counseling. If she's 18,
well,
you
she's
can't.
She's now 16. She's
well, at 16, 16, at 16, you can get her to go to counseling too. And if you talk to her about going to counseling as a means of helping you understand what she needs from you that you're apparently not giving her, that may be a way to open her to that possibility. But give up on that, because at 18, you don't have any ability to get her to go to counseling. You do now. She can just tag along with you, and it's up to the counselor to get her to participate.
I remember a situation at a New Life weekend where the daughter beat her mother up on the side of the road. She was so angry. There was so much anger and venom there, and they came to the New Life weekend, and they actually developed a relationship where they became best friends. And so if she won't go to counseling, you say to her, give me one weekend. Let's go to this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that can, it's amazing how much healing can take place in 3 days. But that's an option for you, too. John, what are your thoughts?
Renee, how is the grandmother's situation as the home? I'm just trying to think what's the best for her from 16, 17, 18. She has two more years, and then she'll be on her own. So where's the best living situation right now?
The best living situation is with me. I got a school, and this is my take on it, and I'm not a psychologist, and I know that you guys have more experience, but me, myself, I've been clean and sober for 3 years now, and it's by the grace of God that I am, and it's like, I have my life recovery Bible, and I go to church twice a week. And I know that God gave me the desires of my heart, and he brought her back into my life because I asked him to. And me being a Christian and me, she sees a change in me.
Renee,
now,
I want you to describe the grandmother home life.
The grandmother home life is not a good situation. There's no boundaries there. Mm. She can go and come whenever she pleases, and I think that that's what she's seeking right now. because she comes here and I give her boundaries. You have to go to school. You have to do this. You can't run the streets. You have to be home by a certain time with your friends. So that's where it started to get this last couple months. Well, you know, you haven't been in my life for this many years. How can you tell me now what to do and what not to do? Because now I'm in your life, and we can't change the past. We can only start from today. And that's what I tell her. So her grandmother is not a good situation.
Is that your mother or her father's mother?
No, that is her father's mother.
And she left without your permission. She just took off and grandmother.
She left without my permission.
And did grandmother say anything to you about, you know, is this okay with you, or did she just take her in and not check with you?
No, actually, the grandmother said she went to somebody at her friend's house, and then she called my ex-mother-in-law and had my ex-mother-in-law come and pick her up last week. My ex-mother-in-law is on my side, and my ex-mother-in-law believes that she should be here with me.
But you know
That's really good.
Here's what I'm thinking, though.
Okay.
I would
that
hate
changes everything.
I would hate for her to move back in, and it's just more of the same.
Yeah.
I mean, then we've got this revolving door thing going, because the next time there's an argument, she's out again. And I just wonder if you and her grandmother could work something out, kind of
about,
a bridge.
How
or
about
a transition.
This? You've got the summer.
Yeah.
You got the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And
that's
a good idea.
So
John,
let her stay with grandma for a summer with you and grandmother both telling her the plan is to come back with me, your mom, in the fall in your last 2 years, your junior and senior year. But we're going to spend a lot of time with counselors so we can make sure, and you have to do this, you know, Sylvia.
Okay.
And so that and the goal is that she will let you come back. But I know you need some space from me now because you're hurt and angry, but your last 2 years are going to be spent with me. And then get the counselor going.
But
yeah.
But get a counselor who will see you together. Don't make her the object of the counseling. Like
yeah,
she's
not the identified
kid.
Patient.
Yeah. The system is in trouble, and you don't know how to be the kind of mother she needs, and
right.
She doesn't know how to be the kind of daughter that you were looking for.
They and both need some skills.
Yeah, and even bring grandma into
it
if she's
great.
Willing.
That's right. Well, what do you want to send her? What would be a good resource for her trying to figure all this out?
Boundaries with Teens.
All right. Well, I'll send you Boundaries with Teens. I've got a book coming out, Walking into Walls, which doesn't have anything to do with this, but I did want to mention it.
You know, Toxic Faith, I was thinking, also doesn't have anything
it
to do with
it,
so I wanted to mention
to
that.
But I wanted to mention
since it
that
doesn't
too.
Have anything to do with it, it's kind of the book I wanted to recommend.
Anyway, hey, we're going to take a break.
I refuse to recommend a book.
Yeah, don't do it. All right. We'll be back after this. We're going to do two other programs after this. This is our final segment. So if you're holding on, hold on. And if you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back after this brief word. Please stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Milan Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert.
Out of these ashes.
If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Our final call here, but hold on. We've got two other programs to do. Melissa.
Hey, I wanted to recommend a book.
Okay.
I changed my mind.
Okay. Yeah. What would you like
to recommend? Questions Children Ask About War and Terror. Remember that book?
Yeah, I do remember that book.
We did that during the first Gulf War.
Yeah.
And it was published in 7 days, and the war ended in 3 days. So
yeah,
it just really kind of killed
bummer.
The book. We were really sad.
I think you guys were writing Boundaries about that time, and Dave and I were writing
91
war books.
It was 91.
Yeah, mm-hmm. War books for children. Okay.
It's still available, though. Which is amazing.
Yeah, kind of insight we had. Now, let's go to Melissa. Washington.
What you used to say.
What?
Oh, these guys write Boundary. I wrote The Angry Man.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, we say that because Boundaries is probably the ultimate Christian self-help, God-help book ever written.
And The Angry Man has been, had a very tragic lifespan.
Yes,
two of the publishers that had it folded.
But actually, the content was good. I mean, it was good material.
No, but that book's had more facelifts than Phyllis Diller. I'm not kidding. It's a new title. Let's go to Melissa in Washington, D.C.
The new title is Boiling Point.
WAVA is the station. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
How could we help you today?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
we can
hear you.
Yeah. How can we help?
Yes, thank you. Just short and simple. I'm just wondering if I'm enabling my husband. I've asked him to read Every Man's Battle, and I've also asked him about going to a workshop. And he says because he's stopped looking at pornography that, he doesn't understand why he needs to read it, and he's just really offended by it.
How long did he stop? How long ago did he stop?
Well, this has been almost 2 years, I suppose, but it was that as well as emotional affairs, and when he refuses to believe that's a form of betrayal, and he just, he does not agree about that.
He thinks if it's not physical, it's okay.
So
here's what I say.
I just feel kind of stuck. I'm going to counseling.
All right, let's look at it a different perspective here, and that's this. Okay, so you can argue about the sexual addiction and all of that and Every Man's Battle. What I would do is I would say, look, forget about that. I miss you. I miss us. Let's go to a workshop for us. Draw each other back together. Let's try to develop some connection. Then, if he makes some steps toward you, he might decide this would be a lot easier if I read that book and I went to the Every Man's Battle workshop. But the goal here is to get you guys on the same page.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Melissa, Steve's right because you have a husband who has stopped. Now, were he not stopping or sneaking or whatever, still doing the emotional affair thing or the porn thing, that would be a different answer. But he's in a period of sobriety, and I think he still has issues. But Steve's right that what we find out is that when a person stops a behavior, but they haven't truly transformed and done the healing and the clean out the cup stuff like it says in Matthew 23, if they haven't done the internal work, they go into a state of deficit because all the needs they're trying to get met through the acting out have gone away. So it's like a crock pot that's building up steam, and it's a good time for you guys to get something where you can say, I miss you, the connection, because he's in more need now. He's lonelier. He probably feels angrier. He probably feels helpless because he doesn't have anywhere to go except for his willpower. So it's a good time for you guys to get connected.
And he does need some credit for going 2 years, you have no suspicion of that.
Basically, what we're saying to you, Melissa, is that you're fighting the wrong battle, and he, because he's resisted that and done it successfully. And what you want to make the issue is, I need more from you, and I need us to be more connected as a couple. and I want us to be moving forward and growing as a couple. And making that the issue, I think, is the key. That you
and we're going to get a checkup from the neck up from the counselor.
Yeah.
So if the counselor says Melissa needs to work on, you know, maybe allowing choices or not feeling hurt or thicker skin, and Sam, you need to work on the fact that it looks like that sexual issue is still there, the checkup for the neck up is just like, well, we're nice people. We want to get some help.
And you want a counselor.
What spouse can argue with that?
Yeah, you want a counselor to give you the rundown after sundown, and that's going to help you. Here's the main thing. I think an enabling person might hear from us, okay, you don't have to demand that they go to every man's battle. But listen to what John had said there. This is different. He's gone 2 years, and this would be a different piece of advice if he was still actively involved. And that's where we say to the woman, make that bold move. Don't ask if he'll go. Demand that he will go.
You know, this marriage weekend coming up this weekend is right in her backyard.
It is.
And
they need to be there.
Get both of you You need to do that, so hang on and let us explain that to you.
Well, we are having a marriage weekend there, and before John gives us a scripture as we close out the program, just want to remind you that when you join Club New Life, we send you a Bible, we send you resources every other month, we send you a CD that I make just for you, we have events just for you, there's an online community, many benefits of being part of Club New Life. Now, we had a goal in 2011 that we would add 1,000 members to Club New Life. We've added 352 members so far. So we've got a ways to go. And also, just in our general giving, we're behind here in May, and we don't want to end up desperate. So don't stop what you did in April. You came through. It made a huge difference to us, and please, please do it again. And if you can help us, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you go to newlife.com. We've got the marriage weekend coming up. We've got a new life weekend. Healing is a choice coming up in July. We have our weight loss program is going to be at the end of the year in October. So we've got a lot of things coming up for you. Find out about it at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. John, you want to share some scripture with us as we close out?
I was thinking about all the calls today, Steve, and how a lot of people called us today are right about something. They're dealing with somebody who's off the path or a struggle. And when we're right, sometimes we have a tendency to think sort of morally superior. And you've got to watch that, because in Colossians 3, it tells us, however you are with your life with Christ, it says we're supposed to be lowly and humble. And there's a real help in being right and humble, because then how can anybody accuse you of being a Pharisee, or I think you've got it together? Come in humble. I don't have it all together. I don't have, you know, I don't know all the answers. I'm making mistakes, but I'm really concerned about this, and you will win the day in most of those conversations.
Yeah. Eventually, yes. Yeah. May not be the first
time.
But persevere.
I remember when I went through that horrible betrayal thing, I kind of got on my high horse. I was the good guy, and you know, and it takes a while for that to settle down, and then the sooner the better, where you can say, you know what, I'm no better, I'm no worse. That's true humility, when the playing feels level.
What the old preachers say, the ground's all level at the cross.
Yeah, he did say that. Anyway, we love getting to be with you, as you can probably tell from the program, and I love this combination of us. So if you can help us stay on the air and help people, give advice, try to bring some kind of insight, some kind of light into their daily life and problems, please help us. Maybe you've been meaning to do it all along and you haven't. This would be a great day for it. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. There are a lot of resources there, and you know, there are books, there are perspectives. Look at all the different subjects that we've done these CDs on, these perspectives. They really can help you. And the latest one that we did was the one that Sherry Denham and I did on trauma and tragedy. And if you've gone through one, you need to call us and get that. All right. It's great to be with you. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, John. Mm. And we'll see all of you right here next time on New Life Live. God bless you. Have a great day, and do the next right thing. That'll take you to God's will. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.